Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and normally I meet with military veterans to learn about their civilian career, what they do, how they got there, and advice for other veterans seeking to do the same. Today, for episode number 244, I'm breaking from our normal format to talk about podcasting. I wanted to do this for a couple reasons. First of all, I think for maybe some of the listeners to the show, it could directly impact your business if you go into entrepreneurship or if you do anything in the world of marketing or working with a smaller company. I also get a lot of questions from people about this topic, and so just selfishly wanted to save time to just put down all my thoughts and all the resources in the show notes to help out people more efficiently, and also just kind of take a stab at a different show format, give you a break from the normal podcasting format. So in terms of the structure of today's episode, I just want to go through briefly a few reasons why you should consider podcasting. And if you are on the fence, I recommend just kind of listening for the next couple minutes to hear that. And then if it's not relevant, feel free to drop off. I'll talk about the different formats and then just go through the tactics, the nitty-gritty of exactly at least what I do or what I've learned along the way in the last 2 years and 240-plus episodes. So let's dive in. So to start with, why podcasting? This is what I found. First of all, it's a great creative outlet. When I was at when I was talking to one of Storybox's board members, and I had just first started Beyond the Uniform, I remember him saying, you know, I was disclosing to him that I was doing this as a side project, and he showed so much enthusiasm and support for me because he said, you know, creativity in one area always bleeds over to creativity in another. And I've definitely found that as I've done my entrepreneurial journey, the work that I've done with Beyond the Uniform and with podcasting, it is additive. I know it takes away time. I know that it takes away mental energy, but I think that I think most people really get that back in dividends and in spades. And learning more, being excited more, just exercising a different part of your brain, a different skill set, I think there's a lot of benefits to that. I also think that there is a advantage for audience development. And I think that this is a trend that we're seeing more and more in for businesses and individuals. But if you can cultivate an audience, there's a lot of benefits to that. And I've seen a lot of people effectively leverage the audience they build up to then shine lights on good causes, galvanize people to support things, or financially to drive that as well. A third reason why I think you should consider podcasting is it's a great way to get access to incredible people. And I've really been honored and flattered by the caliber of guests that I've had on the show to date. And I think it's different. I think, you know, it's obviously in my case, it's a little bit different because the military veteran community is much more supportive and willing to help than many communities. But I think in general, it's different when you're an individual reaching out to someone for advice than when you have a platform and you're saying, this is what I'm doing, I'm going to broadcast your message. I think it just gives you a slightly bigger shoe size to get a foot in the door with people. And that's been the case with me as well. A fourth thing is, and I bristle at this term, but branding. I do think about this occasionally, about kind of personal brand and how people think of you and identify with you. It's not something I consciously thought of when starting, but it's something I'm realizing now that a lot of people know me through the context of Beyond the Uniform. It's part of my personal brand is, okay, this person has some level of expertise in this area. And I think that's an advantage if you do any sort of podcast. Fifth, public speaking. I had someone else point this out to me. I went to an organization called 1 Million Cups, which is a great organization to consider if you're in entrepreneurship. They allow you to come in and pitch to a group of people a product or an idea and get feedback, very candid and diverse feedback. And the one that I did here in Denver actually is great. They give you a one-on-one coach for half an hour to give you feedback on your presentation. And I got really positive feedback from the person. She's like, oh, you must be in podcasting because you're very good, better than the typical person I meet with at public speaking. And I realized in that moment that over the course of 244 hours of talking with people and hearing myself when I edit the episodes and realizing how much I say and have fillers, it's a pretty effective way to get better at public speaking. And if you want proof in that, you can listen to the first 25 episodes or so to see a stark contrast, hopefully. Another reason is content creation. And so this is why I think if you're thinking of starting a company or going into anything in marketing, there has been a trend over the last 4 or 5 years around content marketing, using content in various forms to get people's attention, to build an audience, to educate people about your product or service or just the general problem that you're addressing. And so I think about this a lot when I think of a couple other side projects that I'm working on. And I know that for some of them, if I invest more time, I'll actually spin up another podcast to support it. The reason why is that with podcast, I think, and we'll talk about different formats, I think the format that I use with Beyond the Uniform is very replicatable and very scalable. And by that, I mean it's easy to do this with a little bit of time. And so the nice thing with the podcast format is you can do the podcast interview. For me, it's much easier for me to talk than to write. And what a lot of people out there do, and we're starting to do it Beyond the Uniform, is that podcast is turned into a text transcript. Now that's another second piece of content. That text transcript is trimmed down into an article, usually around 2,000 words in length. There's a third use of the content. That article can be condensed into a handful of tweets and social posts. Now you have 4, 5, 6, 10 different uses of that content. You can bundle multiple podcasts together, those transcripts, and put together an ebook. And so I always think of the Native Americans, how they said, you know, they used every piece of the buffalo. I think with content marketing, it's the same way, that when you start with a piece of content, you can repurpose it for different channels. You can easily tweak it and get more and more and more value. And that's just a efficient way, a high leverage way to grow an audience faster. And then the last reason why I think you should consider podcasting, and this is just my own personal flavor with entrepreneurship. One thing that I really like is I think of it in terms of phase shifting is what I like to call it. But it's something that you can do whenever and wherever you like. And so as an example, many of you may know I have a baby coming, my first baby coming. And so in December and January, I've just been doubling down on the episodes that I'm recording, like this one. It's January 10th today, and this thing is not going to go out until February 11th, right? So I can record this at the office like I am right now on my lunch break. I can just quickly hop in here, record this, and queue it up for later. And that's just something for me personally I've always appreciated, is anything that I can do when I feel creatively energized. It's not like it has to be done between 9 to 5. Many of the episodes I did in Steamboat Springs here in Colorado, which I love, it's a great getaway, but I was able to bring my mic with me and do it there. And that's just something that's fun for me. So that's why I think you should consider podcasting. And the next component of that is I really want to manage expectations and just be honest about my own expectations. I think when I set out 2 years ago and started the podcast, I think my aspiration was, I thought, oh, you know, within 12 months, I'll get to 1,000 listeners. And right now we're about 500 listeners per episode, which I'm really proud of. But I think that myself, and I think many people do this, you go into it expecting to have, I don't know, tens of thousands of people listening. It's different in my case because the veteran population is so tiny. That was never the aspiration. But all the same, I think we always enter into it thinking that it will grow quickly. And you think about, when I think about, you know, it's been 2 years, I've loved doing this, but 2 years and 240 episodes to get to that 500 people, it's a lot of work. And I think a lot of people may enter into podcasting thinking that they're going to make money off of it, which certainly in my case hasn't been the case. But and again, that wasn't the intention. But I think a lot of people that I talk to are similar. It's not a great moneymaker. It's great for growing an audience and all those other things that I talked about. But I don't view it as a great business in terms of generating actual revenue, and certainly not sufficient to support someone's full-time career. Now, there are notable examples, John Lee Dumas and many others who do this for a living, but I think you'll also see they do this as one part, and they use that to promote different products and services and advertising, and it's just a different game. And if that is your intention, it is certainly possible, but you definitely want to go after a market that is very monetizable. And so that might be going after a group of people, let's say a podcast appealing to business owners where they have money to spend, or going after a segment in the market that is just enormous. If you were to do something around online dating or on dating in general, so many people date. When you have billions of people, you only need a small fraction to listen to you, and those numbers are big. So obviously those are two things to consider, but just want to always manage expectations. In this world of YouTube celebrities and Instagram stars, it's important to realize that that's not always achievable or practical as an expectation. And if it's achievable, it's likely going to be a long time to get there and a whole lot of hard work and dedicated effort. Or, I think there's sometimes where personal connections or luck kind of go in your favor and you strike a chord. But those examples, I think, receive far more attention, and it makes us think that they're more common, which is not, at least not my experience and the people I know's experience. So next, let's talk about format. I view podcasts in two basic formats. One is a produced podcast, and by that I mean it's heavily edited. And the second is what I do, which is more of an interview format. And many of you have listened to the show for a long time know I base this off of Tim Ferriss's podcast. And the reason why I like the interview format is that for me, this was something that I'm doing on lunch breaks and nights and weekends. If I had to come up with material for the show, or if I had to heavily edit these shows, I just don't honestly have the time to do that. But one of the things that appealed to me with this interview format is, wow, all I got to do is find the people to talk to, take a little bit of time to prepare for the interview, and a little bit of time to do some light editing, but they're doing all the heavy lifting. I just need to be curious. I just need to be interested and prepare to ask them good questions. And that's a format that when I think of doing a few other podcasts, definitely the format that I would take, because unless you're doing this full-time or with your focus on it, it's real, or have significant support, it's really hard to do that otherwise. That said, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts right now in my life, but the ones I do are heavily edited. They're all in that produced ones, How I Built This, a lot of Gimlet Media's podcasts, things like that. So it's worth noting that. And one other thing is that another format, and I think Gary Vaynerchuk does a good job of this, and Tony Robbins as well, they use existing content or existing effort to promote it as just a channel. And so if they are giving a presentation or a talk or even having a conversation, they will record it, and it's just getting more value out of what they're already doing. And that's something to consider. You might be able to do that. And one last thing, I'm blanking on the interview. Let me actually look this up. Give me one second here. So it is actually Chris Brzezinski, I think, episode 249. So it's coming down the line. But one of the things he said that stuck with me was, when you're starting a business, you have to do something to make money, like let's say consulting or doing whatever. And of course, you could drive Uber while you're starting your company, right? But it's ideal, and this may not be possible, but it's ideal if what you're doing as your side hustle to make money and keep the lights on in some way lines up with what you're doing for your business, because then every second of effort you spend on that making money is also building up your expertise for your main gig, for your main startup. And just bear that in mind with podcasting. I hope that might spark some ideas. You might be able to, if you were starting a company that was food delivery, maybe you do a podcast that's interviewing chefs about their cooking secrets, or you interview people who run restaurants, and then they just all play in together. You're building the right audience in the same way, and you're building up that expertise. So just throwing that out as a quick tidbit. Okay, so let's talk about the nuts and bolts of this, and I'm going to address this to those of you who are obviously not podcasting, and I'm just going to give my quick thoughts on my process. It's one of thousands, and a simple Google search on any of these steps will give you a sense of all the different ways to address this. And in the show notes, I'll include a link to John Lee Dumas is an Army veteran. He runs EO Fire. It's one of the more successful podcasts in the world. In episode 68, I interviewed him, and he also has a free podcast course, which I used when I first started. And I'll put that in the show notes. Check that out, or just Google EO Fire free podcast course. And it's like a 6 or 7 video course. You'll get over 7 days, and covers a lot of this in more detail. But here's my 2 cents. First of all, if you're going to start, I think podcasting is all about consistency. And so do not start to publish until you've got 5 to 10 episodes in the hopper, queued up, ready to go. And that way, if you have fluctuations in your schedule, it's not going to disrupt the audience. And you can, then you're sure you're going to stick with it. I know just a lot of people, and this is just across the board, I do this too. You get excited, you want to start something, and then it just falls away. And so that's a test as well to make sure that you're committed to doing this. So wait until you have 5 to 10 out there. I'm going to walk you through, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 steps. We're going to talk about outreach, getting a hold of people, then scheduling, recording, editing, publishing, and hosting. So I'll go through these pretty rapidly, but I'll include in the show notes a link to all of the things that I'm talking about here. So first of all, outreach. When I started, it was all just networking. It was people I knew or people I could easily get a hold of. So a lot of Stanford Business School grads, a lot of Naval Academy grads. That's an ideal way to start. I have done a fair amount of cold outreach. I have an episode and a video actually on YouTube about how I do that. So that's a whole separate topic. Shoot me a note or tweet or do something if you want more info on that. I'm happy to go into a lot more detail. But a lot of cold emailing of people. This is what I do. This is why I like to have you on the show. And that's been effective too. And I think that's a little bit tilted because it's, a veteran community that's a little bit more responsive than your typical Joe. And then at this point, we get a fair amount of inbounds, which we're fortunate to have, of people reaching out and saying, hey, you should interview this person or you should interview me. And honestly, even more than that, I rely on referrals. So when I have someone on the show, I'm always asking them, who else should I be talking to? And that kind of keeps the momentum going. It's not as much effort as I had to do initially when I didn't have anything to reference. Or also it's gotten easier over the years because I can say, hey, these are incredible people that I've hosted. You can be like them. And that also makes it easier to lock people down. In terms of scheduling, just a quick plug, there are 2 tools that I use that save a lot of time. Calendly is free for most people. It's, you can pay if you're using it more like I am, but you can start free. Calendly is a way that integrates with your Google Calendar and sees your availability. It's just a very easy scheduling tool. So now I just send that link, or Steve Bain, who helps out a lot with the show, will send people that link. They can see my calendar and they can see, okay, I can book an interview. And it just eliminates that back and forth of finding times. And I've now got it set up with lots of questions that they fill out so that when I interview them, I've got a lot of the information in front of me about what they want to talk about, what their background is, all of that stuff. So Calendly is great. I honestly didn't start using that until a couple months ago. Until then, I used a tool that I use a lot in my day job at Schatzer called Assistant.2. That is an incredible free tool that is a Gmail plugin. And what it allows me to do is when I respond to someone, I just literally, it pulls up my calendar, I block off a couple times, send it to them. All they have to do in their email is click on a time, and we both get calendar invites. And it sounds silly, but like that back and forth to me of scheduling is 1,000 paper cuts. The does this time work? How about this time? It just takes too much. And so the Calendly and Assistant.2 are both ways around that. Now let's talk about recording. When I get to the actual interview, this is the set of tools that I use. And again, there's millions of them out there, so definitely do your homework. And John Lee's Dumas's video goes into more detail. So I do all my calls through Skype. The downside on that is that I have to call the person. And the other downside is that if I'm not calling them on Skype, I do have to pay pennies for each call. But that does actually add up when you do 240 episodes. But it's worked well for me. And I use that in conjunction with a tool called Ecamm. I'll include all these links in the show notes. Ecamm is about $40. It's a one-time purchase. And it records those calls in separate audio tracks, which makes my editing a lot easier. And then in terms of microphone, you can honestly get away with your headphones. I got initially a Blue Snowball, which is $55 on Amazon. It's actually what I'm doing right now, using right now, and I unfortunately use for most of my interviews right now because I record them from our office on my lunch break. But it's $55. I did over probably 150 episodes on that. Highly encourage you to not spend any more than that because these costs really add up. And it wasn't until 150 episodes in that I ponied up and paid about $400 for the Heil PR40, which is a professional microphone. Honestly, that was probably just as much about feeling professional as it was sounding professional. The audio quality is noticeably better, but unfortunately, since that's at home, I don't use it as frequently right now for the interviews I do. Now let's talk about editing. After the episode, I edit the interview, and when I first was doing this, I use Mac products, and so I used iMovie. It's free, pretty easy to edit. When I started, it probably took me 30 to 40 minutes to edit each episode, so it was a pretty big time sink. There's another product that's free that's called Audacity. I know a lot of people really like Audacity, and if I were to roll back time, I might go that route. It's free, and it's open source coding product. I instead paid, maybe after 50 episodes, I paid $95, a one-time fee, to purchase a product called Hindenburg Journalist, and I love Hindenburg. I'm not sure how popular it is overall. For me, it works fantastic. And it allows me to have four different audio tracks and mix in the music and just easily. It's to the point now where it takes me probably 5 to 10 minutes to edit an episode. And again, that's one of the advantages of my format. Is many of you know from listening to the show that the basic format is an audio intro from me, a short clip from that episode, more info from me, the interview, and then just tagging on an ending. So it's pretty easy for me, and I do a good job of taking notes during the call. So I'll make a note of the starting time on the recording for the clip that I know I want to use in the intro. And then when I edit, I just go right there, snip, snip, insert it, and it's really easy. So just know it'll probably take a little bit of time to do this at first, but as with everything, with practice, you'll get a lot faster and a lot more efficient. And quick call out here, if you want to do a deep dive on editing, I'm happy down the road to do a video and publish that as well and just kind of walk through exactly what I do. So let me know, reach out if that would be helpful. If I hear from a couple people, I'll take the time to do that. Publishing. Once the episode's done, I save it as an MP3 file, and I use a service called Libsyn. Libsyn. It'll be in the show notes. It starts at $5 a month. At this point, I'm spending about $20 to $40 a month on it. Libsyn, it's not, it's kind of like a, it's not as high tech as a lot of the technology I use. It feels a little bit clunky, but definitely gets the job done. I add the episode there. I type in some show notes. I set a publishing day, a release date for it, and then it took maybe an hour, a couple hours to set this thing up. But now all I do is I schedule it, and when that time comes, it publishes automatically on iTunes, YouTube, and all the other major podcast outlets. So it makes my life really easy. And it also allows me to kind of, I'll send the, right after the interview, I send it to the person I interviewed and give them a month or so to review it. And maybe three times out of 250, I've actually had to make some edits, but it just makes my guests feel more comfortable. It makes me feel more good about it, good about the work that I'm doing. And so that's what I do for publishing. And then the last thing is hosting. Obviously anything you do now, you need a website. GoDaddy for $2 to $12, you can get a domain name. I would never spend more than that. I spent for Storybox I purchased Storybox.io after $3 million of funding. And, you know, I've purchased actually a couple domain names for Storybox, maybe in aggregate for $4,000 or $5,000. I would never do that again. It just doesn't matter that much. Unless you're generating an obscene amount of money, it's just not worth it. So spend $2 to $12, get a website on GoDaddy. My personal favorite right now is Squarespace. I've used a lot of different tools. I've used WordPress, I've used Wix, I've used Weebly. Squarespace is my favorite. It's just the easiest. If you are a massive organization, WordPress is far better because there's so many plugins. But Squarespace is really easy. I mean, for this, it's basically a blog. You're actually going to use Squarespace's blogging functionality. But just like with Libsyn, you're going to queue that up, maybe have an image for each episode, the show notes like I do. And Squarespace has worked really well for me on that. I think that's everything. You know, let me know what questions you have. Happy to answer those. The resource, I'll include a link to my interview with John Lee Dumas about his podcast as well as his free course. Let me know if this sort of thing is helpful. Happy to do other things like this. And let me know if you end up doing a podcast. Would love to hear about that. And I think it's a space that is growing. I think it's very crowded. And so just like anything else in entrepreneurship, it's very hard to cut through the noise and capture people's attention. And I totally think it's worthwhile. And for the reasons I started the episode with, a lot of advantages to doing this. So take care. I'll be back next week with our traditional interview format. Hope this helps, and looking forward to seeing the impact it has.